The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I see man, I shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
man, I shot. Good morning and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay. We got JC, we got you here on this Wednesday morning, and at this time every day we give you a shot or no shot, and it's brought to you by
Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the updated Points Bet app. Lightning Bet, same game parlays. We'll be gambling tonight on the BetCast on NBC Sports Chicago Plus for the Bulls and the Knicks.
I'll be locked in.
We'll be making you, hopefully, some money. Guff's cooked up a nice show, and if you like to bet the ponies like I do, that would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Secretary must be sleeping. Here's Snorling. There's my buddy.
As usual, late out of the gate. The Secretary.
The great.
It's ayahuasca. It's getting
through. It's the ayahuasca. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Snorling.
What do you think is so funny in there, Roz? Keep your beak out of it. She doesn't know what ayahuasca. Well, maybe she does.
I don't know.
Snorling. All right, boys, let's get started. We have to talk a little bit about the Cubs because something happened last night in Major League Baseball free agency. Carlos Correa signed with the San Francisco Giants. This may have happened after you were asleep, so if you missed it, Correa got 13 years and $350 million, a record-breaking deal, puts his total salary north of what Francisco Lindor got from the Mets, and it sets up an average annual value of $27 million. The Cubs were said to be involved in negotiations with Correa, but the Giants were clearly more aggressive with a willingness to go very long-term. Cap, you've told us. Ricketts says he's ready to spend, so shot or no shot. The Cubs not ponying up longer-term for Correa is inexcusable.
Wow. Inexcusable. I wanted Trey Turner. Like, if you gave me my choice of all the shortstops, I wanted Trey Turner over all of them. He got less money than Carlos Correa. I'm going to say no shot on inexcusable on Correa, but inexcusable if you don't get one of the four and then get, like, J.D. Martinez to be your DH as you continue to develop your minor league. Like, you got to try to win this year. And please don't tell me you're trying to win when your acquisitions to date are some guy who was released by the Cardinals that I have never heard of. We picked up on a minor league, Ben DiNuzio or whatever his name is. And then Jameson Taillon, Cody Bellinger. And do you realize you are paying more for Cody Bellinger and Hayward to go away than I think you could have spent an average annual value to keep Contreras and Rizzo? Just telling you.
Well, Cap, let me just tell you, is it inexcusable? It's inexcusable for the Cubs not to be in the mix here to be able to get themselves a difference-making player. I expect them to be in the playoffs in 2024. But the same analysis you give for the Bears, you have to give to the Cubs in that we look for the pillars for the Cubs. And so if Suzuki's one of them, okay, that's one. Then who else is on this team that you say for sure is a pillar for the future? It's not about today. Because, again, if some feel like it's 2025, I'd say the Cubs should be in the playoffs in 2024 in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is there? Correa would have been another one of them, a pillar for you.
Oh, no question about it. I think Nico Hoerner is a part of your future. I think Hap's part of your future.
Now, you
Suzuki.
Now, you know what I mean by that. No, don't do that. You know what I mean by that. Four cornerstone players, four pillars for your ball club.
They have pillars. They have one. Suzuki.
Yes. Okay. Now, this is what I'm saying. If you feel that you think the Cubs should be contending next year?
I think the Cubs should be decent in their division next year and in the playoffs in 24.
Okay. Well, I think this. If that's the case, then you got to start building toward that. And the Cubs did not do that here in this offseason.
By the way, Bob Nightingale this morning says that the Dansby Swanson sweepstakes, I think he's on his honeymoon right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cubs, Twins, Red Sox, Dodgers, Braves. That's the final.
That's not. But again, you would have liked to have Correa with the Cubs, correct?
But certainly, he's a very good player.
Okay.
12 years at what did he get? 360? Mm-hmm. 350?
Mm-hmm.
He better stay healthy and he better be that guy. Like, I'm good with Dansby Swanson, and then go get me a DH and go get me some more guys.
There is a big what if about Swanson. What if he doesn't come to the Cubs? Then what are you looking at if you only have one pillar?
If you don't get Dansby Swanson, then you've had a miserable offseason, unless there's a trade coming that I don't see around the corner.
All right. We'll talk more about that coming up in our next segment. Go ahead, Shay.
We're going to talk more about it right now because I have another question about the Cubs front office. Sticking with them, the consensus reporting, Cap, you've given it. Other people in town have said the same thing and agreed with you. It was confirmed on MLB Network by Russ Dorsey, is that the Cubs have given the green light to spend. Ownership has said the money's there. If you want to spend, if you want to go get some of these free agents, if you want to get Correa, go get them. That hasn't happened. Now Dansby Swanson is the one chair left for you at the dance. Shot or no shot. If the ownership directive is to spend and it doesn't happen, then the Cubs need to move on from Jed Hoyer.
Yeah, that's a no shot right now. Again, Correa told Gordon Whittenmeyer, I ain't going to be part of no rebuild. That's the quote. I ain't going to be part of no rebuild. You have got to get your thing on stable ground. And so when he looks and goes, all right, the money's similar. I could go here. I could go there. That team's ready to win. That team is not. That is not all on Jed because he was directed to tear this apart, trade away you, Darvish, and not spend money over the last couple of years. Now the money is there.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't automatically mean every guy is going to go, yeah, I'm in. I want to be a Cub. It's a little different in 16 when they're like, I want to go there and be part of something special that wins a World Series for the first time in over a century. It's different.
I will tell you, the money's always been there for the Cubs, I believe. It's just that you're going through the pandemic and just trying to get the pass out of off the roster. Baez and Rizzo and Bryant Hayward, you were just trying to turn the page on that championship team. Contreras now. I think the money's always been there. Now, when's the right time to spend? When's the right time to contend and take a fresh look at this Cubs team? This is the time. Especially now that Hayward's gone.
I'm not like out of my mind that they didn't get Correa on a 12-year deal, but I better see an improved roster, whether that is Dansby Swanson at short, Nico Horner at second, J.D. Martinez as my DH. Who's playing third base? Is it Wisdom, or am I putting Wisdom over at first and then go get Justin Turner or whoever it is and try and piecemeal this thing till your kids are ready in a year? That's when they seem to – isn't that what they're telling us?
Yeah.
The system should be cranking players out next year, not 23, 24. Then put a decent team on the field.
I would say no shot on Jed just as of yet, but let's keep our eyes on what happens here. If Jed has the green light and yet he can't, and the thing is, you can offer whatever you want to offer. As we come to find out in this offseason, you could offer a boatload of money. Doesn't mean the player and the agent's going to take it. It's about a fit for the player.
Correct.
Or it's the highest bidder. Maybe the Cubs won't be the highest bidder for Dansby Swanson. Maybe they won't be. So, I mean, that's the whole thing with that. Is the Cubs situation good? Chicago's going to love you. You'll be part of something special with this Cubs team eventually. But some are not ready for that. Some are like, oh, you know what? If this guy across the street is going to offer me, you know, 10 years over $300 million, I'll take it. Maybe the Cubs won't offer that. Who knows?
Correct. Just remember that after the 23 season, the Hayward money comes off the books.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs have very little salary commitment going forward. So they should be in play for the number one free agent next year. Now, does that mean they're going to get him? No. But I don't want to hear, well, we can't give Shohei Ohtani a 12-year deal. Stop. We're talking about Shohei Ohtani here.
And we're talking about the Chicago Cubs.
Agreed.
With money, with streams of money coming all out of all the bricks and the mortar and everywhere else out of Wrigley Field.
They
all these
nothing
revenue streams.
But money. I don't want to hear we got outbid. I don't want to hear it.
Shay?
All right, I have a question about the Bears and their draft future. There actually is some historical comps for being a team with a quarterback in place that ends up with a high pick. The most recent, in 2018, the Niners saw enough out of Garoppolo to know they had their quarterback, and they slid to the number two pick in the draft. That pick wound up being Nick Bosa. Shot or no shot? If the Bears get the number two pick, Will Anderson could be their Nick Bosa.
That's a shot.
So
that's a shot. He is a stud. I mean, he could be. There's no doubt. He is a stud player.
Okay, all right, Shay, just read me the beginning part again. They won. Say that one part. They won a game. It cost them who? It was Nick Bosa?
No. I'm saying the Niners were a similar comp to what the Bears have done this year, where they saw enough out of Garoppolo. He got hurt. Things went south. They end up with the number two pick, and that pick became Nick Bosa. Mm-hmm. The Bears, similarly, have seen enough out of Fields. They stink. They're going to get maybe the number two pick. So if they do, could Will Anderson be their Nick Bosa?
Yes, he could.
Yeah. Now, I would like Jalen Carter equally as well,
man,
because he is part of... Eberflus says, we've got to get a three technique. I keep hearing they're going to move Justin Jones out to an end spot.
Mm.
He's a solid player, not a great player.
Right.
And then go plug in a three technique, whoever that is. If Jalen Carter is wearing a Bears uniform, sign me up. Will Anderson, sign me up. Yeah. I'm good with either one.
I agree. Shay?
All right, last question. The rapper Drake made headlines yesterday. He had a diamond necklace commissioned that contains 42 diamonds. Drake says each of these diamonds is representative of a woman he nearly proposed to. Shot or no shot? If you've loved 42 women, then you've never loved one.
Oh, that is a shot. This man has fallen in love with 42 women enough to want to be married to them? 42 different women? What is he talking about?
I don't know.
And so he's not married currently, correct? JC, he's not married right now.
Single, I think.
He's single. 42.
Have you been engaged with anyone besides Michelle?
Nope.
So I've been engaged three times. Mm-hmm. Married two of those women.
Yes.
The first one that I got engaged to wasn't going to work.
Right.
Nah. No shot. So... But there's no one else I thought about giving a ring to.
42 different women.
That's insane.
So that guy, that is do not touch if you're a woman out there. Like, you'd probably want his money, possibly, but to have a relationship with him. But so I wasn't your first one that you truly love. You love 42 other women. Where do I fall in? 22, 25? Where am I on the list? Right?
Well, did you want to know?
Well, it's out there now, pal.
Like, do you think Drake's got a list? He's like, yeah, she's 36. Like, he's power ranking these women. And then he's sending them an email. Well, you were, 41. Oh. You were 42.
Every woman that you've had sex with or have had a relationship with, you want to marry.
He didn't say that. I'll bet you he slept with more than 42 women.
If there's a top 42, though. That's ridiculous.
But he's saying that he thought about getting engaged to.
Married, eventually.
That doesn't mean that they were the best in bed. Doesn't mean those are the ones I slept with. Means ones that he could see himself having a long-term committed relationship with.
I'm doing a reasonable deduction here. I'm just saying that it's got to be a combination of people that he slept with, relationships he's had,
Like how many women would you guess Drake has slept with? He's got 42 diamonds for 42 he thought about proposing to, I'm going to take a wild guess, 250.
Over or under Wilt Chamberlain?
Yeah.
Under, because Wilt Chamberlain, there's no way he slept with 20,000 women.
Why not?
Because he'd have to be sleeping with him while he was bringing the ball up to court in a fast break. He didn't have enough time.
Why not? I think he got that number. And when they were leaving that hotel room, the women were like, "We will overcome." Oh, yeah, they were all about it. Absolutely. Out in the public. Absolutely. What was getting it done?
20,000.
Yeah.
That's insane.
10 at a time times what? It's not the traditional.
Listen, thing. I wasn't going to say it, but I was thinking it. if you have multiple at once a few times, then just, you get there quick.
Come on, Cap. You think it's just one at a time? Don't think so.
Wilt? I'm sure that there were many evenings of multiples.
Oh, you think?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think it starts adding up after a while.
Yeah, just do any kind of research on him. He was having a good time.
I would say that it's if I'm a woman, I stay away. Knowing that you wanted to, that you were thinking about marrying or being engaged to 42 different women. It's weird. Absolutely not. I've only had that thought one time. One time. And that'll be the end. Yeah. Only the one time. That'll be out. And that'll be out with that. The other marriage with you. All right, coming up next, are the Cubs going to be left holding the bag? We'll talk about that. Don't forget, Jesse Rogers at 8:35 on Chicago's Home for Sports.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Hope that you're going to have a great Wednesday. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers on the latest on the Cubs and White Sox coming up at 8:35. But, Cap, so it happened last night. I tweeted at you last night. This is what it is, kid. Correa, around 10:30 last night, locked in. Now, just real quick before we get into the Cubs and Sox, because we haven't talked about this in a more broad, esoteric way, in that, Cap, 12 years for Correa. When we see these contracts and we see, like, is Correa a hell of a player? Yes. But I just know that those contracts, they just don't live up to the billing. You could say, hey, look what we signed, a 12-year, $350 million contract. Go ahead.
13 for him.
13. $13 million contract. My point is, though, is that what are you getting out of that? Does that come down to $27 million a year? 26, 27 million?
Something like that, which allows them, like the Cubs deal with Cody Bellinger is essentially a two-year deal, but it's really only going to be one because they have an option, which is not going to get exercised. It's a kind of an understanding. So he's only counting as 12 million on their books this year, which allows them flexibility to do other things toward the luxury level. First level is 237. And so he'll get $5.5 million in a buyout next winter, which then is only 12 million. That's why they stretched Correa to 13 years. He wanted a certain number. Okay, we got to stretch that over 13 years, the Giants, because we want to go get whoever, and we need to be able to stay under the luxury tax.
I get it. It's just there have been 13, 200, 280 million plus contracts throughout baseball history. 13. Contracts, $280 million or more. Five have been signed in the last 13 months.
Right.
It's an odd flex. Like, look at us. Look how much of the money that we're doling out. Okay, does that mean a championship? Man, you could say, look at how we signed Judge. Look how we signed Correa. Okay, that's great. Does that mean a championship? We go back to the Robinson Cano deal. We go back to the A-Rod deal with Texas. We go to the Pujols deal with the Angels. What is it? It gives you what? Necessarily. What does that mean? Does that put more butts in seats? Does that give you more interest as a ball club?
I mean, there's no doubt he's a really, really good player. He is.
Yeah.
Really good player. Is he worth 13 years at $350 million if you don't think in the first 2 years of the deal you have a chance to win with him?
And if you don't, then what's the point of all this outside of saying, look at me?
For the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Jed says, we're not ready to win, guys.
But you know what? You know what, Cap? Your gut, and I already know without you saying it, your gut tells you and you're telling everybody that the Cubs won't be in a deal for a player that is going to have a 10-year deal plus $300, $400, $500 million.
This year.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Ever.
I don't think you believe that they will. Like, as much as it would be cool for Ohtani to be in Chicago, I bet that doesn't happen here.
Ohtani's not coming here.
Well, I'm saying for that type of money. Like, there won't be a 9-10 year contract for somebody because, as you mentioned the other day, they're just burnt by the Hayward deal.
And the Soriano deal.
Okay, well, I mean,
now
Soriano's out of place.
Now, if I told you in 24, 25, all of a sudden, wow, they got all these good young players, Pete Carmstrong and Ian Happ, and all these guys that are playing really well, and there was a guy that fits perfectly on the roster, and it's going to take 13 years and $400 million. We should never hear from this ownership group. We can't afford it.
I agree.
Ever.
But I'm just asking, do you think that they... See, my team, they're not going to do that. White Sox, that's not going to happen. Apparently, we're content. We're just fine over here being 81-81 and barely improving the ball club. So I guess you're just content just being average here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. So you're good with that. I'm asking you, do you think that in this iteration of the Cubs, led by Jed, will you see a player sign for 10 years plus in the kind of money that we've seen here in the offseason? I don't think so. And I think you feel the same way.
I certainly don't think this year there's none of those left. They're not going to be in play on Carlos Rodon. He wants reportedly 7 years north of $200 million. Mm-mm. I wouldn't do that either. Mm-mm. He said shoulder and Tommy John surgeries. Mm-mm. You want me to pay you for how many years? Good luck. Go to the Yankees because you might win with him in year one or two.
Yeah.
You're not ready to win with Carlos Rodon.
Right.
That would be a dumb signing. What I don't understand is if they're truly involved on Christian Vasquez, he got 3 years from Minnesota. Why can't you beat Minnesota?
Right.
The money wasn't stupid. It was 3 years, $30 million. Mm-hmm. That's nothing in baseball money. So why were you not involved there? Jose Abreu, they offered him 2 for $40. He got 3 for $60. Would you have gone 3 years? I would not have.
No. But those places you just mentioned, more attractive places. Teams ready to win.
He's like, wait, they're going to guarantee me an extra year, and they're coming off the win in the World Series? Yeah, I'll take Houston.
What about the other teams you just mentioned, the other players you just mentioned? Those, are they not playoff teams, playoff ready?
They
the
are.
The names you mentioned, yeah.
They are. The Cubs are not. But they need somebody to play first. There's not anything really left on the list. They don't need a second baseman. Shortstop, the one left, is Dansby Swanson.
If you don't get him, then what are you going to do? Then you go, what's next? Because Dansby Swanson is a 3.2 war. For people who are listening, this guy is a very valuable player for any ball club.
He is. He's a very, very good player. Is he Correa and Turner and Bogarts? Probably not. But he's a really, really good player. And it's not going to come cheap.
So instead of Swanson, if you don't get him, you're going Michael Conforto?
I mean,
yeah, you could.
I don't think you have room for Michael Conforto.
Michael Brantley. I'm just saying, players of that ilk. You got to go down the list of free agents that are available.
Like you need a third baseman. But do you want a 38-year-old Justin Turner?
No.
If you're trying to win this year, I mean, a 37-year-old Evan Longoria?
Mm-mm.
There's not a lot left there. I don't need an outfielder. I think you guys are going to end up signing a guy like Joey Gallo. That's my guess.
Okay.
I don't need it. As I said, I need a designated hitter. Would I sign J.D. Martinez? I would. I would put J.D. Martinez in as my DH. He's a solid hitter. He's 35 years of age.
Shay, what I'm saying to Cap is that if you don't get Dansby Swanson, you can't be mad at Swanson because some of the free agents that have been signed, they went to contenders.
Yeah.
And you have to decide as a free agent, am I going to sit here and lose 85 ball games? And will we be good soon? Because, yeah, I'm getting paid, but I want to win too.
Yeah, I kind of fall on the other side of that, though, Hoodie. I always think about, like, yes, you want to go to a winner, but I think if you can sell that you will build a winner, that can also work. And I'm of the belief that if the Cubs had opened the checkbook and gotten some of these guys, now I think they're going to get left holding the bag, personally. But if they had opened the checkbook, I think they could have built a winner. And you asked what is $13 million and $350 million, or 13 years, $350 million get you? Well, if we're doing Cap and Jay Hood in San Francisco, we're talking about a team that's trying to win. We're doing Cap and Jay Hood in Chicago. What are they doing? That's what
right.
gets you.
But they made an offer on Trey Turner, reported to be right around $300 million. He said, no, I'm going to Philly. That's where he always wanted to go.
Well, look, if we're doing this show on KNBR in San Francisco this morning, I'm saying I appreciate the commitment to winning. But in 3 or 4 years, if this team is not in the mix for the World Series and you still have this big contract, I'm pissed. Like, what is this guy around for? If this guy is not the one of the main characters to get the team to a World Series, then what's the point of having a 13-year deal? Like, to me, in baseball, that's a disconnect for me because I've seen it not work so often, giving one player a 9, 10, 11-year deal. That's a lot of money. And look, hey, God bless the player. It's nothing against him. I'm just saying it's a lot of pressure on one player to make everything right. And I'm just saying that for the Cubs, I don't think that we'll see that, Cap. As much as I think it would be cool for Ohtani to be in Chicago, I don't think the Cubs are ready to make a deal of that nature. Like 10 years, $400 million, or whatever it would be for Ohtani.
I mean, he's a great, great player.
No question.
And at some point, you have to start adding star-level players if you're in this market. This isn't Kansas City. It isn't. Dansby Swanson, that's all that's left on the list that I know of that they're talking to in free agency. Could be a trade out there. I don't know.
We'll talk further with Jesse Rogers about this next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Don't forget tonight, it's Whiskey Wednesday with Carmen DeFalco. He'll be at the Sovereign Tap in Plainfield from 6:30 to 8:30 and having a good time. It is a unique event, Whiskey U of 2022. It's the final one of the year, Sovereign Tap in Plainfield. That's where you can catch Carmen DeFalco tonight. All right, now, Cap, it's time for the man of the hour. Jesse Rogers joins us here as we talk Cubs and Sox and Major League Baseball here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Jess.
Good morning, boys. Been listening to the whole show, especially the last hour with the Cubs and Correa conversation. Where do you want to start?
Did we get Ohtani this morning?
Maybe a year from today we'll be talking about it, because you're right. He's the big free agent next offseason. There's already rumors the Dodgers are going to basically, you know, give him the lease to Dodger Stadium, and he's going to be in their fold. But we'll see. It's a long way to go between now and then. Could be traded before then. But everyone thinks the Dodgers are going to make a big play at Ohtani. So let's talk about the here now. I want to make one. I don't know if it's a correction, Cap, but you've mentioned what Correa said to Gordon Whitmire a few times. Now, Correa said this to Gordon this past July after he signed with Minnesota. Now, last playoffs, he told me this during the World Series of 21. I want to be part of an organization that wants to go in the right direction and rebuild in the right way and win championships. So I think Carlos Correa was saying things in the moment that benefited him. And then when he signed with a team that was closer to winning, he said that to Gordon. So we can't always believe what these guys are saying in the midst of free agency.
I'm just reading the headline that was tweeted out by Gordon this morning.
Okay, and I'm reading you something that he said last to playoffs to give you the full picture here on Carlos Correa. Now, this is what I was told as late as last night after he signed, that certainly the Cubs were in the conversation like the Twins, but, quote, the Giants moved quicker. Now, let's put some context to what that means. What it means is the Giants moved quicker to the number Boris wanted. Boris operates this way and even said this at the winter meetings. He doesn't get a number and then shop it around. He presents a number, and you've got to come to it. And the Giants, after having $350 million-plus to give to Judge, had that number ready to give to Correa. And they jumped at it first. We know the Twins made massive offers to him, different-looking contracts, but not 13 and 350. And by definition, I believe, the Cubs did not make a 13-350. I don't think he was choosing between two 13-year $350 million deals. And so he lands with San Francisco because they moved quickest to the number Boris wanted.
What do the Cubs have to sell to, say, a Swanson or other free agents? Because we see this in Texas, Philadelphia, New York, San Diego. The free agency has just been bananas, Jesse, as you well know. So from the Cubs' standpoint, where they stand now, what do they have to sell?
Not as much as they had in 15, let's put it that way. And not only do they not have that much to sell, they're up against fierce competition. I've talked about this for a while. I don't feel like it's getting through. This is a very interesting time in baseball. And this is why, granted, I've gotten a lot wrong this offseason. I did not think Bellinger would choose the Cubs, for example. We could go through the things I've gotten wrong. But on day one of the offseason, on day one at the GM meetings, I told Waddle and Sylvie I had very high doubts they'd get any of the shortstops because of exactly what we're seeing. Max offers by teams that are in it to win it right now. A lot of teams are in it to win it right now. The 12 playoff teams were really good teams last year, and about 11 of them spend money. Then you add the Rangers to the mix that spend money, and a couple other teams as well, like the Giants, who are 1 year removed from winning 107 games. And the Cubs had all sorts of stiff competition. Now, about 2.5 weeks ago, I amended what I said because I heard that Swanson was likely to leave the Braves, and now the Cubs were in the mix. And since about 2.5 weeks ago, I said it was a 50-50 proposition that the Cubs might get Swanson now that I knew he was leaving the Braves. So what do they have to sell? Well, one thing is a women's professional soccer team. Here's a previously unaired quote by Dansby Swanson I got on the day the Braves were eliminated. Because of the nature of our situation, we've had to look at every possible scenario. This is Swanson talking about him and his then fiance, now wife. There's obviously places that have soccer teams as well as professional baseball teams. So like I said, we've literally looked at every scenario possible. The women's professional soccer teams, there's one in Seattle, San Diego, Houston, Kansas City, Chicago, LA, DC, New York, New Jersey. We can eliminate a few of those places, right, that have shortstops like San Diego. It puts the Cubs, maybe the Yankees, maybe the Dodgers squarely in the mix, probably takes the Twins out of it. And this is the other thing he said about the Cubs. Again, previously unaired, unwritten. They played well in the second half. They showed some life at times. For any team that's going through a type of rebuild, it's important to play well because you want to build confidence for the people there. You want to set a standard for a winning culture. I feel like they did that, especially down the stretch. Now, that could be Swanson leaving all his avenues open, but it certainly sounded like he had the Cubs on his mind even before the Braves season was over. So the selling really comes in a couple years, the fact that they can win. But at least they have the professional women's soccer team, and Swanson sees something, at least he did at the end of last season in the Cubs.
So what should a Cub fan out there think this morning?
Well,
we lost out on San Diego getting another star, Bogarts. Oh, I heard rumors we were in on Correa. He's going to San Francisco. Trey Turner said he got an offer from the Cubs. Well, they obviously didn't offer him $5 million a year. They obviously were in that 275 to 300 range, or why are we wasting our time? Then they didn't get him. So how much do they have to spend on Dansby Swanson? Are they going to go get J.D. Martinez to be the DH? Are they going to sign Justin Turner at 38 to play third base? Are they trying to freaking win next year and be competitive? Or, nah, it's another lost year on the north side.
Yeah, I mean, Cap, I always thought it was a pipe dream to really contend next year. Yeah, in this division, you can contend around the edges. But, we are at a point in time where there are super teams out there. Cubs are nowhere close to being a super team. Maybe if they had done exactly the right things, they could be contending for a wild card, maybe. But baseball is full of great teams right now. The answer to the question is really the same as it was a year ago, and that is Jed really is going to – he has one way to get this thing back on track. The prospects he has acquired become star-level players, and then when they're ready to win, they sign the next John Lester. They sign the next even Jason Hayward and hope it's better than Jason Hayward. And that's when they do it, when someone is willing to come here and not necessarily have to take the max money. He's got one avenue. Now, the team to compare the Cubs to, guys, is the Texas Rangers. This, to me, is very interesting. Their farm systems rank very similarly. But the Rangers, and their success on the field is similar. In fact, the Rangers were worse last year. But the Rangers have gone out and spent big, big money. Probably wrong, right? I mean, Simeon's not going to be good for that year, that long. Seager's not going to be. And Jacob deGrom may not be healthy for one season. Mm-hmm. But they went for it, or they're going for it, in a tougher division. So which avenue is the right avenue to push all in, to max out deals on guys when you're not necessarily ready to win with 68 wins, which the Rangers had, or to do it the Cubs way? I mean, look, I'm not against good players. I want them all as well. Like, I would love to have Carlos Correa here. It's not our money, but it is an interesting dynamic that's going on. One team, similar record, similar farm system, spending all this money, and we don't know where it's going to get them. While the Cubs are kind of doing it piecemeal and are not willing to go past their evaluations. Why didn't they get Vasquez? Why didn't they get Correa? They've made evaluations. Maybe they've adjusted them here and there as the market changes.
You know what, Jesse?
You have to
screw
do that.
The evaluation. At some point, you got to sign somebody or you cannot continue to charge the prices you're charging for the Wrigley Field experience and the tickets. You cannot do it.
But you can't make them go to your ball club. And as I've been saying, that's why I asked Jesse, what's the attraction? Yeah, you have to find a John Lester to say, you know what, I'm going to be the linchpin to start all this. What you got in the offseason was not a linchpin.
And I think one of you said it right. Like, this is not, though, oh, everyone wants to play for the Cubs in Chicago in the summer. That's BS. There's plenty of good organizations out there right now. Plenty of them. You don't want to play at Petco Park and live in San Diego and be adored by the only sports team in town? Please. The Philadelphia fans were, Ash Schwarber, were as loud as Wrigley Field ever was. There are some great cities to live and great organizations that treat their families well, just like the Cubs treat their team well. So I agree with you. There's not a lot to sell right now compared to these other super teams that are willing to go max contracts, even if the contracts look bad. But Cap, I'm also on your side. You can't get better without stars. I had this argument with Jed at the winter meetings or at the GM meetings, one of them. I said, look, you admit you don't have stars brewing in your minor league system. That means you got to go out and get them. And he kind of agreed, but then he also said, well, the Rays don't have a lot of stars and they win. And I'm like, well, we don't want to be the Rays, right?
You know what?
I almost swore.
We're not Tampa.
Right. But look, it's a tough needle he's trying to thread, competing with all these teams that are fully formulated, World Series ready, and willing to go all in with crazy, crazy contracts. So I think his only avenue right now is waiting for these prospects to produce a good team, and then they top it off with some great free agent signings.
All right, I'll see you in 2024. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you in 2024.
I don't disagree that they wanted it, but they're just not willing to go all in.
Sox, anything? No?
All right. Nah.
All right, Jesse, thank you very much.
Joey Gallo in 24 hours. Mark it down.
He didn't. Okay, he didn't ask. I asked him. I asked the expert. Nobody asked you. And no, I don't want to hear about Joey Gallo. Because 81 and 81 is good enough at 35th and Vec, so don't worry about it.
I'm Gene Honda, now batting. Joey Gallo.
Yep. From the 13,000. All right, Jesse, we appreciate it.
Hold on, the Cubs will fill it.
Jesse Rogers with us here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, Vegas woman snatches Rolex. That's the headline.
Whoa.
And that's next on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Cap'n Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app coming up at 9 o'clock. We talk about the Chicago Bears. Bears get ready to take on the Eagles. So we're asking the question to you about the Bears. Like, what do you want to see? We haven't seen them since Sunday because of the bye, but what do you want to see coming up on Sunday? We'll explain coming up at 9 o'clock. Well, there's a story that's on TMZ regarding a Vegas woman, Shay. Now, what's the story about this woman from Vegas?
I'm just going to read it from the page here. A Las Vegas woman found herself in a sticky situation with cops after she allegedly stole a super expensive watch and hid it in her genitals. She snatched that watch, Hoodie.
She did. Here's David Kaplan.
Like, how do you... Okay.
Excuse me?
I understand.
How what?
How do you get the watch...
Huh?
From wherever it was
to,
how do you snatch the watch? Is what I'm saying.
You use your hand.
But where is said watch? Like, it's not like you.
I'm gonna get myself in line.
Just answer. Ask the question. I'll answer it for you. Go ahead, pal. What do you have?
Like, where was the watch
It's not like she suctioned it over. How did she get it?
Well, I don't know if she did that, Cap. I mean, unless there's further detail.
Well, police
where
were called...
Where did she snatch the watch from?
Police were called to the Aria Hotel Sunday in Las Vegas, according to 8 News Now, after a man claimed he was cuddling 33-year-old Sarah Richards. Cuddling.
Huh?
I imagine Sarah Richards is a Las Vegas woman of the night. Mm. And she continually insisted he take his Rolex off while they laid together. The alleged victims told cops he put the watch under his pillow and continued to drink wine at Richards' request. I mean, this guy's the biggest mark ever. But he says when he noticed it missing... She, quote, went into a panic and left. So he followed her down to the lobby and notified security. And they couldn't find it. Apparently, the cavity search came into play. And she's been charged with grand larceny. It was a Rolex.
Okay, he deserves to lose his Rolex.
Must be like Wrigley Field in there.
Wow.
What did I say wrong?
Nothing.
I mean, I just say it's a cavity search. I'm just asking, like... They had to do a deep dive to get that.
There's two Rolexes. I mean, he deserves to lose his Rolex. He does.
Man, you know, you've heard this story before.
Your Rolex is annoying me. Put it under your pillow. And keep drinking that wine that I probably spiked.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Where's my... I gotta go.
Yes. How often have you heard that story or read that story? That guy's a mark. He puts his expensive jewelry right there on the nightstand, and then she puts it in a place that for safekeeping, clearly. Her safe.
Wow.
In her
if you're with a woman that you don't know very well, and when you hear a man is cuddling a 33-year-old woman in Vegas in the Aria, we can assume we know what she does for a living?
Yes.
When you're with that woman, the instant she goes, take your Rolex off, ask her to leave.
Absolutely. Cap, what do you think she's there for? She's there for several reasons, but one of them could be to rob you.
Correct.
And so she decides, you know what? I got a compartment right here. And she put it right in her safe.
What's her name? I give her credit. Sarah Richards. It's actually a good move. She almost got away with it.
Sarah, how was work today?
It's a good move.
Work was good.
How was work today? Let me show you.
I snatched a Rolex.
Let me show you how good work was. Bam. There you go. Watch.
Clean that up. We're good to go. Diamond Rolex.
Well, she couldn't see me coming, pal, because I wouldn't wear a Rolex watch. Not a Rolex guy. Watch every now and then when I'm dressing up, but...
You don't wear a watch every day?
Most days.
All I have is my Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I left it at home today.
I have zero interest that if I ever could afford one, a Rolex has zero appeal to me. None.
It's just a flex. It's a flex. You know what it is? It's a Cadillac or whatever your car of choice is on your wrist. It's what it is.
Yeah, some people are watch people. I'm not.
God. She put it up there, huh? Trying to steal it. She says no one will ever see this until they do the cavity search. My God. Hey, Sarah, what time is it?
Hold on, let me tell you. Hold on. 12:30.
Why are you on your back to tell time?
Oh, man. What are you hoping looks new for the Bears on Sunday? We'll get to that in 2 minutes here on Cap and Jay Hood. What time is it? Let's take a look.
8:58.
TikTok.